Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Goodness, when I look at you, Everton, I know our future is bright. Can we hear it for Everton Blair? So good. So good. Well, it is just wonderful to be with you this afternoon in the ATL. And to be here in one of the most significant and esteemed educational institutions in our country, Morehouse College. So I thank you all for this very, very warm welcome. I thank you. And when I look out at this crowd of folks who have come out on a Sunday afternoon, when there are so many other things you could be doing with your time, one thing is clear to me. We are all here for the same reason. We love our country and are prepared to fight for the best of who we are. That's why we're here. And I could not be more thankful for the generosity of your time and your spirit. So, It was literally 7 weeks ago today that we announced our campaign in my hometown of Oakland, California. And it's been an extraordinary process. It has been a process of traveling our great country and talking with folks. It has been about really the goal of our campaign, because let me just be really clear with everybody. I fully intend to win this campaign. I fully intend to win. But a metric of our success will also be that at the end of this process, that we are relevant. So this is a process that is about listening as much as it is about talking. It is about traveling around our country and engaging and being with folks. And I cannot thank you enough for being here this afternoon. So since we started this campaign, you know, people have been asking me, why are you running? And so there are a number of reasons. And one of them is I do believe that this is a moment in time that is an inflection moment in the history of our country. This is a moment in time that is requiring us each and collectively to look in a mirror and ask a question. That question being, who are we? And I believe part of the answer to that question is, we are better than this. We are better than this. And so this is a moment in time to fight for the best of who we are, and fight we will. I'm also running because I believe this is a moment in time where we must restore truth and justice in our country. Truth and justice. This is a moment in time where we must restore equal opportunity for all Americans. And then there's a more personal reason that I'm running, and it is this. So my sister Maya and I, we were raised by a mother who was all of 5 feet tall. But if you ever met our mother, you would have thought she was 7 feet tall. But she was the kind of parent who, if you ever came home complaining about something, the first thing she'd do is she'd look at you and say, "Well, what are you gonna do about it?" So I decided to run for president of the United States. There you go. There you go. So, a moment in time, truth and justice. So here's how I think about that. When we talk about truth, especially these last couple of years, certainly we think about truth as opposed to untruths, right? The mischaracterization of truth. There is that piece of it, but there is another piece of it, which is this. Traveling our country, I can tell you what you already know. There are a lot of folks in our country right now who are extremely distrustful of our government, its institutions, and leaders. And the thing about a relationship of trust is that the nature of a relationship of trust is such that it is a reciprocal relationship, right? You give and you receive trust. And one of the most important ingredients in trust is truth. But there's a funny thing about truth. Speaking truth can often make people quite uncomfortable. And for those of us who speak behind a microphone and often behind a podium, there is an incentive that when we speak, we will make everybody feel happy. We will speak words that make you feel lovely. We'll sprinkle lovely dust all over the room. Everyone will applaud and job will have been done. Well, speaking truth doesn't always accomplish that goal. But there's another thing about speaking truth. Yes, people may walk away from that conversation thinking, you know, I didn't particularly like what I had to hear. But they will also walk away from that conversation knowing it was an honest conversation. So this is a moment in time where we must, and leaders must, speak truth. Now, y'all might be looking at me saying, okay, Kamala, what are some of the truths you have in mind? Well, if Charlottesville didn't make it clear, if the Tree of Life Synagogue did not make it clear, racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, Islamophobia are real in this country, and they are an expression of hate. And we must speak that truth so we can deal with it and fight the source of hate. Let's speak that truth. Let's speak the truth. The economy of America is not working for working people. Let's speak that truth. So how do we know that? Well, in America today, for almost half of American families, cannot afford a $400 unexpected expense. Almost half of American families cannot afford a $400 unexpected expense. That could be the car breaking down. That could be an unexpected hospital bill. In America today, in 99% of the counties in our country, if you are a minimum wage worker working full time, you cannot afford market rate for a one-bedroom apartment. That's the truth about America today. Last year, as a matter of fact, 12 million Americans took out on average a $400 loan from the payday lender at an interest rate often of over 300%. These are the truths about America today, which is why I am proposing what economists have described as what would be the most significant middle-class tax cut in generations. Yeah. And specifically, what I am proposing is that for families that are making less than $100,000 a year, you receive a tax credit of up to $6,000 a year that you can collect at up to $500 a month. All the difference between being able to get through the end of the month and not. And then you know how folks are. People say, well, how are you going to pay for that? I'm going to tell you how I'm going to pay for it. We're going to repeal that tax bill that they passed that benefited the top 1% and the biggest corporations of our country. That's how we're going to pay for it. It'll get paid. Let's speak truth. Let's speak truth. We are a society that pretends to care about education. But not so much the education of other people's children. Let's speak that truth. Let's speak that truth. So I've been traveling, like I said, and I've been meeting with folks. I've been meeting with all kinds of teachers all over our country. And I can't tell you how many teachers I've met with that are working two jobs, sometimes three, to pay the bills, to put food on the table, and because over 90% of the teachers in our country are coming out of their own pocket to pay for school supplies. Now, true personal story, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Frances Wilson, God rest her soul, attended my law school graduation. I think most of us know that any success we have achieved was in part and in great part because of the teachers that believed in us and invested in us. In fact, I will say this. I believe there are two groups of people that are raising our children. Parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles, and our teachers. And it is time we pay our teachers their value. Because to put a fine point on it, you can judge a society, I believe, based on the way it treats its children. And there is no greater expression of love for a child than investing in that child's education. And the people who will be implementing that education are our teachers. Let's pay them for their value. So what I am proposing is something we've not seen from a president since LBJ. What I am proposing is what will be the largest federal investment in closing the teacher pay gap, which at this point is a gap that means that our teachers are on average receiving 10% or more less than other college graduates in pay, and we need to close that gap to invest in our collective future. It's real simple. Let's speak truth. Climate change is real. Now, it's a shame we have to say it that way, right? It's a shame we have to say it that way. But the problem with the matter, which is a serious matter, is that we've got a situation where we have supposed leaders in our country who are out there pushing science fiction instead of science fact. We have supposed leaders in our country who are denying what is presenting itself as the most existential threat to who we are as human beings, because let's be clear, this species requires clean air and clean water, and it is very much at peril right now. And the only way we are going to fix this problem is to understand it is in large part due to human behaviors, which can be changed without much change to your lifestyle. But there has got to be leadership at the very top who takes this on and understands that we can do something about it. And let's stop ceding our role on the globe as being a leader on the issue of climate change. Let's speak truth. In America today, there are parents who will sit down with their children at dinner time. Their children, they could be elementary school, middle school, high school. And those parents will ask their children, "How was your day, darling?" And the child will say, "Well, it was a difficult day. Why is that?" "Well, we had a drill today at school." "Well, what did that drill involve?" "It involved us learning that we needed to go run and hide in a closet." "Why, mommy and daddy, did we have to learn to do that?" "Well, because they said something about it might be because there'll be a mass gunman roaming the streets of our school and roaming the halls of our school." "Why, mommy and daddy, must we go through that?" And those parents have to then look at that child and say, "Well, it's because supposed leaders in Washington, D.C. have failed to have the courage to reject a false choice, have failed to have the courage to reject a false choice, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. It's a false choice. It is because people in Washington, D.C., supposed leaders, have failed to have the courage to understand. I'm fine with everybody going hunting who wants to go hunting, but we also must have the courage to have reasonable gun safety laws, including universal background checks. Let's speak truth. In America today, there are parents who sit down with their son when he turns 12 years old to have the talk. A conversation wherein those parents say, "Son, you may be stopped, you may be arrested, you may be chased, you may be shot because of the color of your skin." Let's speak that truth so we can get to a point that the young men of America do not have to live in fear that they will be singled out for behavior that is wrong and disruptive of a civil society. Let's speak that truth. Let's speak truth on some of the current topics of the day. Let's speak truth that the American public deserves transparency and accountability, and the Mueller report must be made public for a full accounting of what happened. And the Attorney General of the United States must be required to come and testify before Congress instead of just submitting a four-page memo on what happened. Let's speak truth. And let's speak what I believe, especially now, is one of the most fundamental and important truths that must be spoken, in particular when there are so many powerful voices that are right now trying to sow hate and division among us. And that truth is this: the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us.
Let's speak that truth.
And let's speak that truth in a way that it comes from our hearts, from our soul, from our mind. Let's know that truth. Let that fuel us. Let us know that truth based on what I call the middle of the night thought. You know, some people call it the 3 a.m. thought. Other people call that moment the witching hour. You know what I'm talking about. When you wake up in the middle of the night with that thing that's been weighing on you, sometimes in a cold sweat. Well, for the vast majority of us, when we wake up thinking that thought, it is never through the lens of the party with which we're registered to vote. For the vast majority of us, when we wake up thinking that thought, it is never through the lens of some demographic a pollster put us in. And for the vast majority of us, when we wake up thinking that thought, it has to do with one of just a very few things: our personal health, the health of our children or our parents. For so many Americans, can I get a job, keep a job, pay the bills by the end of the month, retire with dignity? For our students, can I pay off those student loans? I know. For so many people in our country, can I help my family member get off their opioid addiction? The vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And so, Atlanta, what I say is this: as we march toward 2020, let's not buy what people are trying to sell us when they're trying to get us to point fingers at each other. Let's not buy that. Let's reject that. Let's reject that. As we march toward 2020, let's do it with a spirit that recognizes that part of the strength of who we are as a nation, part of our culture, is we are an aspirational nation. We are an aspirational people. We are a nation that was founded on noble ideals. Those ideals that were present when we wrote the Constitution of the United States and all of its amendments, and the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, and those words we spoke in 1776, that we are all and should be treated that way. We are aspirational by nature. We are also clear-eyed. We've not yet met those ideals. But our strength is that we will fight to get there. Let's not give that up. Let's fight to get there. Let's fight to get there. Let's do this understanding that this is a moment in time that is requiring so much of each of us. But we are a great people. We are a nation full of incredible people who are dedicated to our future. And so in this inflection moment, let's remember, it will pass. This inflection moment will pass. We'll get beyond this. And years from now, our children, our grandchildren, others, they're going to look in our eyes, each one of us, and they will ask us, where were you at that inflection moment? And what we're going to be able to say was, well, there was a Sunday afternoon at Morehouse. When we were all hanging out together. And what we are going to also say when they ask us about this moment in time is we will tell them more than just how we felt. We will tell them what we did. We will tell them what action we took, that we stood up, that we stepped out, that we organized folks, we registered folks to vote, we took people to the polls, that we fought for the soul of our country. That's what we will tell them. That's what we will tell them, and our future is bright because we can see what what can be, unburdened by what has been, and we will fight for the soul of our country. Yes, we will. I thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.